Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seats with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see because Doug loves movies.
You almost held on there.
Oh, man. I don't know the words.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, a no audience edition coming to you from Never Not Funny Studios on Monday, February 28th to Ocean's 11, the day after the Academy Awards. I predicted Portman, Firth, Leo, and Bale. You heard it on one of the recent podcasts, and so did everybody else, so that's not really that impressive. But more on that in a second. If you have a South by Southwest badge, you can get into my Doug Loves Movies, Benson Interruption, and stand-up shows in Austin, Texas, March 12th through the 19th. And also pop into a couple other shows while I'm there. So look for me walking around. And I'll be doing stand-up at the McGlowan, I think that's how it's pronounced, McGlowan Theater at Spirit Square in Charlotte, North Carolina on Friday, March 24th. Two Oceans 11, and Doug Loves Movies Live in Portland, Oregon is available for your ears to enjoy for just $2 on iTunes. Should be there now or soon, and thanks in advance to all of you who buy that shit. Oh, and finally, I screwed up. I planned to do a Benson Interruption podcast taping on March 7th at Largo in Los Angeles, but I'll actually be in an airplane in that time, so that'll be a bad time for me to do a show. So that show's been rescheduled to March 21st. March 21st, Largo, Benson Interruption. I've already got some amazing guests, and that, of course, will also be a podcast you can get for $2 on iTunes. And my guests today are Doug Loves Movies favorites, Sam Levine and Garfunkel and Oates.
Whose favorite am I?
Dude, you could, when I did a poll on Twitter, you did pretty good.
I don't know about that. I looked through some of those results. I think I read three for
all
me.
All three of you did pretty well.
And one of them said specifically not Sam Levine. I remember reading that one.
Well, that's when people write that, I probably just block that person immediately because that is super not cool.
You're very sweet.
To be like, I don't get when anybody writes to me on Twitter and goes, I love your show, but so-and-so was a douche on it, or this guy sucks on it. I'm just like, I always write back, that's my friend, blocked. Right. So, like, I don't know how they don't get the idea that, you know, like, every once in a while I'll have a virtual stranger on the show, but usually that person's a fancy actress or something. So
it would be weird if someone was like, I love your show, but Elizabeth Shue is such a bitch. Don't ever have her on.
Well, she was. No.
Damn, no, right. She wasn't. She was hilarious.
She was a damn delight. I don't know if you guys heard. You probably didn't hear it, but she yelled side boob and raised her hands over her head quite a few times.
Nice. Wow.
But also, Garfunkel notes, I should say your actual names are Ricky Lindholm and Kate McCucci. And just like the last time we did an in-studio episode and you girls weren't here, is that. Girls is all right, isn't it?
Girls is all right.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Well, coming from, it depends who it comes from. With you, it's fine. If it's from like someone creepy, then it's like,
yeah, yeah, like, then yeah, what's up, yeah, girls? Like, that, that, yeah, that's never, yeah, good.
How's it going, girls? We're like,
but if Sam said it, you'd be bummed out.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, girls.
Oh.
How you doing?
The last time that I did the show with Sam in studio, he ran the Leonard Maltin game, and I got to play. Ooh. And so we're going to do that again today.
That's awesome. Right.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I prepped this because you guys are good at it.
The day he gave me the heads up, I couldn't wait to prep it.
I'm good at everyone, but the first one I played with you was Bond movies, which I don't think I've ever actually seen a Bond movie, so I was terrible the
first
time.
I haven't seen one either.
But I still won by default.
Yeah, no, that's the beauty of it, is you really don't need to know. You just have to make the other person guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It works out pretty good. But first, let's talk Oscars. Happened yesterday here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I watched it alone because I like to tweet during the entire thing and not be at some party where you have to constantly tell people to be quiet so I can hear what dumb things are being said that I can tweet about.
Sure.
And then I go to a party right after, as soon as it's over.
Vanity Fair?
No, TJ Miller.
Oh, that's, I was at TJ's during the Oscars.
You were?
I was.
When did you leave?
Yeah, because I left probably like halfway through.
Okay, because they started it late.
They started
on
it
TiVo,
late.
Yes. Which just drives me crazy. If I'd have been an actual guest at that party, if I'd have gotten there at 5 or 5:30, when did it start? 5:30.
He started.
If I'd gotten there at 5:30, and they were like, "Yeah, we're going to start it an hour later and just run it on TiVo, and as long as we all stay in this room, no one will know what happens." You can't watch an event like that an hour behind.
Of course not. You can't even check your phone. No, people will be texting you, "Can you believe that?" And you're like, "Oh no, I don't believe anything."
That's what happened to me. I already got like 10 answers, and they're like, "Here, do the Oscar pool thing." And I'm like, "Well, I can't."
That's,
I know
the dumbest Oscar
already.
Pool yeah. ever. Wow. Let's fill that out after all the awards have been given out. But also, it was very frustrating because also to live tweet the event, which I like to do because it really annoys some of my followers, you know, you can't be an hour behind what's happening. That's what's funny about that.
5 minutes.
Look at that dress.
That'd be funny.
You just have to get lucky that another funny dress comes along.
It would be that moment where James Franco came out in a dress.
Because I actually did tweet at one point, "What the hell is happening?" And it might have been during that.
Mm.
Because why? Does anybody know why James Franco came out dressed like Marilyn Monroe?
And all for about 5 seconds.
Was there a point?
That was it.
Yeah, there was no shtick once he came out.
No. Well, men in drag is so funny.
Oh, that's
funny.
So hilarious.
Hilarious and original.
You guys remember when Bob Hope did that? It was really great.
He then tells some jokes while still dressed as a woman. He doesn't just come out and go, "I'm dressed as a woman." That's the whole show, everybody. Good night.
Well, he did point out that she was dressed in a tux, in case
we had to balance it out.
Why was she dressed in a tux? Just so he could have a reason to dress as a woman?
She sang a number. What song did she sing?
She sang from Les Mis.
She sang something from Les Mis, which has not been filmed as a musical, I don't believe.
I believe they're
correct. Going to do it, though.
They should.
They're talking about it.
They absolutely should, but she could be in it. But why is she singing that on the Oscars also, about how Hugh Jackman won't do a bit with her, won't sing a song with
when
her?
When I'm sure he would. He was like, what?
I kept waiting for him to jump up and sing his part.
Like she did, yeah.
But also, why is that always the go-to song for girls? Like, do you remember the Dawson's Creek episode where
Joey came was like, "On my own,
pretending
to
inside
I love that when she did that. But she should have sang the Castle on the Cloud song
here?
If she's going to sound like she's 8.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I used to love that song. I used to cry listening to that song. I was very dramatic when I was 12.
It's a great song, though.
It's a really good song. It should replace whatever lullabies people are using these days.
I don't want to name drop, but I have to tell the story about where I was last night. I went to the Night of 100 Stars. It was my second year in a row going to this party. Do you know what this is?
No, I don't.
It's ridiculous how many people were there that you'd be like, "Oh, that guy and that guy." I sat at table number 50.
A star, you should know their name and not just be like that.
No. I sat at table number 50. And let me tell you who was at my table. Rich Little, Loretta Devine, and Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, those guys.
Wow.
Those guys. Next to us was Ivan Drago himself, Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
He was sitting with Robert Wool. Ed Asner was over there. Ernest Borgnine was at the table next to me.
What year was this party?
This was last night.
That's nuts.
There were so many wonderful people there.
It's whenever I'm at something where there's that many, like when you ask me later, I cannot begin to recall.
I wanted to write them down because
exactly
I knew I wouldn't know
who they all were.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
That's
my
Alan Thicke.
Impressive.
You can find Robert Carradine was behind me on the red carpet, and I was like, I'm going to get shooed along because everyone wants Skolnick on the red carpet.
Wow. But it's a Night of 100 Stars that people under 25 can't name, like if they saw them.
Maybe.
I don't know who half those people are that you said.
Aww. Or they would know if they saw him. Like Loretta Devine, you'd know if you saw her. She's in like Waiting to Exhale or something.
Yeah. She's great.
She was in probably a Tyler Perry movie or two. I liked her on that Boston Public. Yeah, I liked her on that. Were you ever a student on that?
I was.
Did you get hazed or something?
No. But here's what I did get. I got yelled at for, in one take, I said the word the as the, and then in another take, I went the. And the script supervisor comes
over
and says...
Got up in your shit about that?
And the script supervisor was like, you have to say it the. And I went, really? And David E. Kelly is standing right behind her, and like she walked back over, and I almost saw her mouth like, he got it. Don't worry about it. And I was like, oh, this he hates me. I will never come back on this show.
Wait, and didn't your part get cut down a lot or
considerably,
something?
Considerably.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I shot like a whole bunch of scenes. They aired one.
Because you switched the to the.
Yeah.
I did one day of extra work in my entire life, and it was for that show. Nice. I had to be a homeless girl, and I sat next to a man who I think probably was really homeless, and he told me how they really didn't land on the moon.
Wow. Well, that's he should have been in the party the last night with Buzz Aldrin.
They know all the big secrets like that. That's why they're homeless. They lost their job trying to convince people.
I have like a weird history with homeless people. And
Ricky does.
There's a guy, this homeless man who punched me in the face about 5 years ago. And I am not kidding when I tell you I see him once a week. And I almost think he's imaginary. He like lives, quote unquote, on my street. And so every time I walk to Starbucks, walk to the corner, I see this guy at least once a week.
Do you think he knows who you are?
Oh, yeah.
And he knows he punched you?
Yes, I think so. Because he the first time he saw me after, it was like 2 years went by, I didn't see him, and then I see him, and I'm on a side street, and I just started screaming at him, because he started walking toward me again, and I'm like, I'm on to you! I know who you are! I know how to get a hold of you! But I just started screaming, like, nonsensical things, and then he got scared and walked away, and then hasn't messed with me since, but has messed with people I'm with. He's like, pushed people who are next to me.
Oh, I want to be next to you. I want to have an excuse to...
You want to tussle?
The homeless?
Yeah.
Or tussle with this guy. Now, is there any way to make that story about the movies?
No.
That was the original plot of the movie Sideways.
They based that, that guy was, Jamie Foxx's character was based on him for the, what was that called?
The Soloist.
Soloist?
Yes.
I never thought of that before. He was a soloist as a performer, but also as a human being.
That's right.
He was on his own.
And the TV show The Walking Dead is actually about the living. They're the walking dead. Get it?
Oh.
What? No spoilers.
No, it's not a spoiler. It's just something you got to think about.
You think about it. Again, that has nothing to do with movies.
Well, there are zombie movies.
What did you guys do for the Oscars last night?
I went to T.J. Miller's house.
Oh, that's right.
Watched with a bunch of comedians.
I don't know why I looked at you when I said that. Kate, what'd you do?
I went to my cousin's house. He lives right on the beach. He convinced his parents that was the only safe neighborhood in L.A., so his backyard is the ocean. So he cooked us chicken parmesan, my brother, my cousins. It was nice. It was a family affair.
Then you just sat and watched it?
Yeah. And I actually was watching Twitter as it was going along, which you were great, and there were a lot of funny people.
Thank you.
You were great.
You were great. You were great last night, Doug. Yeah. Really funny.
Well, I really enjoy it because it's just a great opportunity to like, every time I've ever watched the Oscars, I've sat there and made my smart-ass comments to some laughter with the people I'm watching it with, but now I can do it for... 20, 30 people that are on Twitter following me and
well, and I like it too.
Attention.
All these people that I, it's like all your friends are on there and even people who aren't.
Yeah, I don't really take the time to read everybody else's because it's like, that's, I just read the at replies because everyone who complains about me tweeting too much during the Oscars gets blocked because I say before I do it, I'm going to be tweeting a lot, so just go ahead and unfollow for the day. And there's still some dipshit who'll write to me, you're clogging up my phone with all your tweets about the stupid Oscars. It's like, why are you following me? Why
does that person have their phone set to like all your tweets come in as a text?
I think some people
what
do.
An asshole.
Some people do, and then complain like they can't change that. They can't fix it.
I didn't realize that was a possibility that you can have
a tweet
come in as a text.
Yeah, all of anybody I follow. When they text something with my name in it, it comes up on my phone.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow.
But and that's too much.
Yeah,
I can't.
Good thing you don't follow Kevin Smith. Just kidding. He tweets a lot.
He
tweets quite a lot.
He doesn't follow me or say anything about me. He did say that I'm going to be on his podcast in March, but we're waiting to hear from his people about it. So if you're one of Kevin's people and you haven't contacted us, let us know because Kevin says I'm going to be on in March, but. little bit more about the Oscars, and then we'll play some games.
I just wonder how long it's going to be till people forget what movie won the Oscar this year. Because I feel like the
same
thing happened last
year. Some people forget while it's happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not that important to people. And that's what's weird about the TV show, the Oscars, is they need big ratings, and what matters to people is not what's going to win, unless, like they say, it was down 7% or something like this, that from last year, which to me just says, you know, Avatar was a bigger movie last year, so a few more people tuned in to root for it or whatever. There wasn't much to root for this time. Like, even people who like The Social Network or The Fighter aren't really like, oh, it better win. It has to win.
I wanted Social Network to win so bad.
It was the best movie, I think.
It really was.
I'm really glad it won Best Score, though. I think that score is awesome.
Yeah, and it won editing, too, which is, you know, it was an interesting movie in terms of the time structure.
Why wasn't The Town even nominated for Best Picture? That movie was so good.
I think Winter's Bone got its spot, would be the conventional wisdom.
I don't know.
And I liked Winter's Bone, but The Town is more of a, like, it's weird that The Town didn't get in there because it was so, it's just such a movie star movie.
I guess.
Like, it really is like a bunch of iconic figures sort of running
and
around.
Toy Story 3. See, that's what, it should have been them instead of Toy Story 3. Because that, everyone knew was going to win Best Animated Feature.
Yeah, well, that's the big argument that people make now for a couple years running, that it's just like, what, that's a wasted slot for an animated movie, because if it's good enough to be in the top 10, then it's going to win the animated category for sure.
Right.
So, it's all
everyone booed
weird.
At the party I was at when that won, because TJ Miller is in How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, boo, Toy Story.
What did James Franco say about, he said some sort of dirty comment about that title, and Anne Hathaway totally seemed like she was caught off guard by it. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, it was as if it was like running a train on your dragon. Was the reference, I believe.
Is that what he said?
First he said Winter's Bone, and then Rabbit Hole, and then How to Train Your Dragon. It's like,
who said all that?
Franco said it to Anne Hathaway.
Like in a bit together.
And then he said something like, sounds dirty. And then she seemed a little bit like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
No, I think she was like acting.
That was what was so
aggravating to me about them. Like, people are saying they were terrible. And it's just like, well, they can only be so good with what they were given. They were doing like presenter banter, but they are the hosts.
Yeah.
Like the very first thing they say to each other is like, so isn't it great to be here? Yeah, I love it when I'm here because blah, blah. And it's like they're having this fake written telepromptered conversation in front of the audience. So all they can do is just act it. And James Franco can't act interested enough in it. And Anne Hathaway acts like, you know, over the top interested in it, like, let's put on a show, you know. And so it was just, I found the whole thing just frustrating because I don't dislike them. It's weird to be like mad at them, but I kind of still am.
You need to have Brian Posehn on your podcast because
he
sure
helped write
saw,
that stuff.
Yeah, he was a writer for additional segments, as was Neil Brennan.
But they probably wrote that stuff where they were inserted in the movies, which
I'm
was
sure,
fine, but it was such a... MTV's done that every year for years and years, you know? And Billy Crystal used to do it, but it was a much kind of, I don't know, like bigger approach. Like, he'd be in like the craziest scenes. Like, he'd be like in the scene where, in English Patient, where the plane crashes, and he'd be like running from it or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas this was them just sort of sitting there talking
the
to people in Social Network and people from... Like, there wasn't that much exciting about it. Like, you could almost hire those actors to sit down and do a scene with them.
Right.
Like, why do they need to be inserted in the movie if it's not some big iconic moment that is impossible to recreate?
Because I'll bet James Franco's people were like, you can have him for one day to shoot stuff for the intro.
Yeah, but
and I'll bet that
I don't
Billy
know.
Crystal stuff took
they just
a week.
Could have. It had some funny parts, I guess. But
I liked Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, well, that was really interesting. I was thinking that the rest of the show should just be all old people
Stalling.
Who are hard to understand and who are willing to just hijack the show with their jokes and being like, yeah, I remember when I had to wait and they didn't say my name. That was so funny.
Do you remember when Melissa Leo, when Kirk Douglas like told her how beautiful she was? Oh, you're so much more beautiful than you are in the movie. And then she was like, hey, what are you doing later? I'm not doing anything. I like to pretend that Melissa Leo fucked Kirk Douglas last time. That, like, she found him at the Vanity Fair party, and he was like, I'm going to the Elton John party. You want to roll with me? And they just boned in the limo on the way.
Wow.
She's not that much prettier than she was in the movie. She still looks like Melissa Leo.
Aww.
I mean, I'm not...
I think she's not a bad-looking girl.
Yeah, I think she's
all right, but you know what I mean? Like, the wig... the wig was the only difference, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they did other stuff to her.
Well, that's impressive. Now you need less to win the Oscar. Nicole Kidman had to wear a fake nose.
I have my theory about my theory about Melissa Leo is that she's just a complete wingbird actress, and like that's why she's so amazing. Like just like Christian Bale can like disappear into the character, but then like just her own personality is just like.
And how about Christian Bale plugging that guy's website?
And they let it go. And they let it go, which is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird. You don't hear a lot of plugging of websites.
Oh, websites and a thank you speech.
On the Academy Awards.
But also, like, you should only plug a website when the website is not obvious. Like, dickecklund.com. Oh, you're kidding. That's the website? Like, anyone could have found it.
Like, it was cool that the real guy was there, though.
And they finally put him and his brother up in, like, the balcony. Because if you remember at the Globes, when Christian Bale went to say thank you for his speech, like,
he went up there.
Dick Eklund ran onto the stage and was, like, trying to accept it as his own. Or maybe that was the SAG Awards, but it was really uncomfortable.
I think it might have been the SAGs because I didn't see the SAGs.
Do you remember a few years ago they mentioned Mickey Rooney at the Oscars, and then they're like, the camera was trying desperately to find Mickey Rooney, and they finally, I think he was like in the back row.
Yeah, it was sad how far away he was from the stage.
I was like, oh, Mickey Rooney.
They could have worked that out better.
Ernest Borgnine yelled at me.
Yesterday.
I was trying to take a photo with him. And his wife.
Oh, and he didn't want it? And you just did one of those, sat down next to him and stuck your camera out?
He was standing up, and I was like, I was very polite about it. I was like, Mr. Borgnine, could I get a photo? He's like, what? Yeah, fast. And then my friend was trying to take the photo, but then there were so many people crossing in between us, and there was only a foot of space. He was like, do it, honey, do it, hurry up, come on. And I'm like, I know a lot about you, Ernest Borgnine, because of that segment on Fox and Friends. Do you remember that segment, Douglas?
Yeah, he whispered to somebody that he masturbates a lot, right. But he had a lapel mic.
And he didn't whisper it. He leaned in and went, I masturbate a lot.
Yeah.
In the creepiest old man voice.
Yeah, that was a really funny clip.
Yeah, see, he can't call us girls.
He's 93 or 94 years old.
But, I mean, you know, yelled at you. That seems like a pretty good reason to yell at a person if he wanted to get it over with quickly, and then there was a lot of, you know, fumbling around. That's what happens to me a lot.
Yes, there's no fumbling, though.
Or anybody. Like, it happens to you. Right? Where somebody's like, can I get a picture? And then no one knows how to operate their stupid camera.
Yes.
And you have to stand there and try to be nice about it. But then they start to get nervous and they start to over apologize. And or they get real, like, if you start to seem at all agitated, they'll suddenly get into that mode of like, oh, you can't just hang on a second, Mr. Big Shot.
Well, it's weirder for Kate and I because we always do pictures with our eyes closed. That's our joke. So Kate and I will be our eyes closed and be smiling. And then
we're there forever.
And we don't know what's happening because we can't see them fumbling. Waiting and waiting. And then we're like, is it over?
I thought you were going to say they always go, can we do it again? Your eyes were closed.
Oh, people have done that.
Yeah.
And we're like, but we do that on purpose.
Sometimes if there's a flash, you can sort of still see the flash even though your eyes are closed, but otherwise, no, we don't know when it's done.
And people don't tell us, and so we just
we're still.
I'm glad I know that because I'm gonna ask to get a picture with you and then steal your stuff.
The only reason I even said that, by the way, is because Mickey Rooney also yelled at me many years earlier when I tried to get a photo with him.
He was
an angry old man.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, people have taken pictures of them for their entire lives. I still get a little bit of joy out of it, but they must be like.
Mickey refuses to have a photo taken without his wife, Jan Rooney, in it. FYI.
That's people seek to get a
photo. That's good to know for when Rooney. I never do that.
Matt Belknap, he's writing that down in his journal right now. He's like, noted. I will not.
Okay, so we covered the hosts. There weren't really any snubs. It was pretty.
How about Corey Haim being left out of In Memoriam?
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, but it's also they end up having this argument every year or this response to the public outcries of who was left out, because I think they left out somebody pretty weird, somebody pretty prominent last year, and it's. They don't show everybody. If just because you're in the film industry and you die doesn't mean you're going to get in that montage.
He was a movie star.
He was not a movie star for a long time before dying in
But look at Dennis Hopper, for
fashion.
God's sake. I mean,
look at him.
He was a huge star when he died, but how many years in
movies
his career?
In every decade of his life.
Yes, but how many years of his life was he a has-been? Was he left for dead?
Well, that's the thing. If Corey Haim had figured out a way to make a comeback, like being in David Lynch movie or whatever movie it was that turned it around for Hopper, mm-hmm. or Hoosiers, I guess maybe when he was in Hoosiers, that might have been it because he got nominated for that. Like, you know, Haim could have had something like that, but he didn't. So he ended up just being it'd be like paying tribute to a reality star. It's like if they showed a dead Kardashian.
Does anyone want to get into the death pool on that one?
Oh God! But no, I mean, I could see either side of this argument, and also, but to me, the bottom line is, who really cares? And this year they told the audience to not clap at all. Clearly, there was no clapping the entire time.
Usually,
that's another reason why Dennis Hopper made the montage, because the audience went nuts when his face came up.
Yeah.
When Corey Haim came up, if this had been a year where clapping was allowed, I doubt there'd have been much clapping.
Yeah, it would have been a little. Yeah.
Maybe
a little bit. Williams, I think
maybe
she's a big
hoot or two.
Corey Haim.
It's kind of an older crowd. Maybe they'd be Lucas fans or something.
Right.
I thought that's the sad thing about Corey Haim is I thought he was great for the first, you know, three or four things he was in. I was really a fan, and then he did that, you know, that video for his fans and stuff where he was just clearly off the rails.
Google it, you won't be sorry.
Is that the one where he says he's ready to come back to
yes.
work?
Yeah, he's like 15
it's really
or 16.
Bad. It's like it's when things were starting to, you know, the studios or whatever had lost interest in him. But it's supposed to be his day. But it's like him, it's him laying on a raft in the pool. It's him playing tennis, and it's all the things he's doing. He's always looking at the camera and, you know, talking up like, you know, how great he is at everything and how awesome he is and how awesome his life is. It's really sad and hilarious.
Wow.
And he does. There's a lot of him at an electric organ, and I think I might be misquoting him, but he just starts talking about all the different styles of music he likes to play. He's like throwing around the weirdest, you know, I like to play Japanese funk and Chinese fusion or whatever, you know. He's just practically making up names for song genres, and he goes, I just like to jibba jabba at the keyboard and stuff like that. Like, he was just like trying too hard to act like an adult at 16. If you can get your hands on a copy, it's pretty amazing.
I'm sure, I think it's online. I mean, at least it was.
It was hilarious when he was alive, but now that he's dead, I would feel kind of sad
not
watching
as funny.
It.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not as hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll say some more about the Oscars next week or something, but you know, it's always. How long was this one? 3.5?
Yeah, it was up there.
Yeah.
It was just under, it was like 3 hours.
It was still
minutes.
Way under the hour mark, though. They still ended it like kind of at a weird time. So that's why I think they brought out those kids and had them sing.
I liked
and stuff.
That, the ending, and I liked that all the winners were on the stage at the end.
I'm pretty sure those kids were lip syncing, by the way.
No.
Watch it again. I watched it again today.
Really?
Watch the body language on some of those kids as they're singing. They are the histrionics from these kids as they're supposedly singing all in unison. I was like, that does not match up. Some of them look like they are barely keeping up with the music. I mean, granted, there were a lot of them,
a lot
so
of
it's
kids,
possible.
Yeah, so this, you know,
have you
I don't
their
know.
YouTube
whenever
videos,
I was,
though?
I haven't.
Oh, they're pretty amazing.
I'm whenever sure I was in a choir, I would always just move my mouth and not really match anything because I was scared to sing with everybody else because I can barely sing, but when I do, I've got to be alone, like other people singing. Other parts around me, I can't.
I lip sync through all the High School Musicals. I was in the chorus.
Musicals.
Yeah, in the chorus, lip syncing, you know, to Oklahoma, just my mouth moving.
I would always lose my voice, so I'd end up lip syncing.
Oh, really?
Everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Trouble is, Kate was in South Pacific.
I was going to say South Pacific.
I was in South Pacific. Did you come
to
me?
No, I know, but the joke was you were singing Oklahoma. You were lip syncing Oklahoma. I just had to say another, you know,
gotcha,
that was the joke. Trouble is, she was in West Side Story. Whatever, you know.
But I still had my cowboy outfit on. Yeah.
Oklahoma's inappropriate in pretty much every other musical. Oklahoma's the one where you can sing Oklahoma. What have you seen lately? Have you been to the movies lately, any of you?
Oh,
I just saw Animal Kingdom.
I did too. I watched
it
yesterday morning because it was the only performance I hadn't seen yet.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Jackie Weaver for a supporting actress, who I thought was really good, but it's not a particularly showy role. It's just kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, but in those last few scenes where she sort of
gets
off the rock, like, she's amazing.
Yeah, no, she's really good, but like, I thought maybe, you know, Annette Bening or somebody could have been in there instead of her, but...
Right, but it was an Australian movie, right? So that's probably why she wasn't.
What?
Oh, you mean in
Best
the category?
Best Supporting Actress?
Oh, Annette Bening got nominated.
Yeah, she was nominated.
I meant Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah.
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 Ricky and I saw the Justin Bieber movie.
Mm-hmm. Never Say Never.
So awesome.
We went with
a
bunch
it.
Of comedians. We went with Reggie Watts and Nick Thune Natasha
and Natasha.
Yeah,
in 3D?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
She had the glasses on? Because I'm boycotting the anything where I have to put the glasses
well,
on.
Well, I put hand sanitizer all over the glasses.
You did?
That's not my issue with the glasses. I didn't get LASIK surgery to wear glasses ever.
Nice.
Except for sunglasses, which I love to wear. So what's my problem?
What if you could get a surgery that you'd be able to see 3D movies in 3D
but it
without having to put the glasses
anything
on? Right, but otherwise you'd be fine.
But it is a surgery?
It's a surgery.
It's an elective surgery?
Yes. It is an elective surgery.
If my insurance won't pay for it.
In the back of my van.
Yeah, I don't want that. I just,
all right.
I haven't seen a 3D movie. Like, I thought How to Train Your Dragon and Jackass 3D were probably the two best uses of 3D last year, like where it actually sort of enhances it, makes it a little better. But those movies would be perfectly enjoyable, not with the glasses on.
Yeah, there has not been a single film.
Yeah,
by
the time it's over, I'm just like, I'm tired of wearing these stupid glasses because they also never. I don't know. I just don't.
But it's also like good without 3D.
The Biebs movie.
That's the thing is, I do actually want to see it. I've heard some good things. I mean, mostly from women. A lot of no dudes have really raved about it.
Reggie loved it.
Shepard was raving about it in a tweet. Well, I think that's just because he's in love with his fiance or whatever she is.
No, it was good. It
makes you love that sort of thing.
Yeah.
If your wife loved it, Matt, would you love it?
Yeah.
See? He says yes. That's Matt Belknap, producer in the house, producer of this podcast.
That's better.
He's it's funny I never mentioned it, but thanks for singing the theme song live at the top.
Oh yeah, no problem.
That was Garfunkel and Oates singing live, just so that when people are listening, they'll be like, "What is happening?" Because Kate was like, "I don't think I know all the words," and I was like, "Even better,
5, 6, 7."
That's
eight.
Perfect. Yeah, let's do it.
That's like us on stage for the first year we played.
I never knew any of our lyrics. I really struggle with lyrics in general, like Christmas songs. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know our songs.
I've seen you doing songs that you've done for a while with a piece of paper in your hand. And I love that because that's how I want to do everything. I just want to be able to look down and be like, in honor of a current movie, the other day I went number 4. That movie, of course, Romeo and Juliet. See, I wrote that down. I never would have remembered to say that if I...
You saw Romeo and Juliet?
No.
Oh.
And I didn't see I Am Number 4. I joke about things I haven't even seen.
Yeah.
It's really not fair. It's not fair to all the people that work so hard to make your Romeos and your number fours.
A little adventure goes a long way.
Is that was that their slogan?
That is the tagline of that film.
That is great.
A little adventure goes a long way.
I love that.
Because like that.
On Twitter, let me see if I can find this. I made a joke about how sad it's going to be if the people that made Romeo and Juliet just make every Shakespeare movie with gnomes. And then
Gnomelet.
Exactly. As soon as I thought of that, I was like, I better think of a few good ones, because once I put it out there, then everyone's going to pile on with their own, and I'll be bummed if somebody thinks of a better one. So the ones I came up with were Gnomethello, The Midget of Venice, Much Ado About Gnoming, and Love's Labor's Lawn. And then lots of people came back with them, but the best one, I was like, why did I see that? The best one was Elf Night. Like, how could I miss that? You just dropped two letters off of Twelfth Night and you're there.
The Taming of the Shroom.
That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt.
You're dismissed.
You're not wrong.
He's laughing at the thank you very much, not at the thing.
Yeah, doesn't matter. I'll take whatever laughter I get.
Yeah, but that was good. Like, yeah, that's the thing. You have to be able to think of Shakespeare plays. You have to be able to remember the names of them and then do that.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Here's how dumb comedy works. Let's play Build a Title.
Oh, boy.
Do you guys want to play that? Do you ladies know Build a Title?
I forget.
I think we just...
It's fun. It doesn't matter if you know.
I think I remember this one, yes.
I'll talk you through it.
Okay.
Matt Belknap, give us the title of a movie. Any movie.
Kicking and Screaming.
Ooh, I like that. Kicking.
The first one.
the Noah Baumbach one,
yeah.
And not the Will Ferrell one. Okay, Kicking and Screaming is the name, is the title there.
One. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Doug, you go next.
Yeah. I'll go first.
Yeah, yeah, it's not easy. Is it?
Title. Set the game down.
I think you might have picked one that's impossible. It's not impossible because there's always some weird thing that could be.
There's got to be some artsy movie like Screaming at Picasso.
Yeah.
Should we just make a fake one?
Yeah. Wait, new.
There's got to be a movie that starts with screaming.
Screaming.
I don't. I certainly can't think of one.
Screaming.
Screaming.
Sorry.
The only ones that start with creaming are porn.
Is there nothing in kicking?
Oh.
Something.
Reaming. Ming. Was there a Ming the Merciless movie?
Sure.
The Ming Dynasty.
Yeah, Ming the Merciless, Ming. Probably.
You may have really given us a title.
This was the sequel.
It sounded like a good one.
I think we need a new title.
It sounded like one. I'm gonna see if. Well, I'm gonna check really quick and see.
Can
if,
we just take see if Leonard Maltin can recommend think of it as one? ENG and then go to like English patient, scream English patient.
That's kind of in, that's kind of there. It's a little because you don't go. You say English.
Yeah.
Scream English.
Yes.
Screaming doesn't really
kicking and scream English patient.
I'm gonna say no to that one just because people the listeners come up they send me ones on the internet and stuff and it's always things like that are a reach and I don't like to argue with them.
It has to just totally
sound like it. Has to be a total sound alike, but I'll still cheat sometimes if there's a brilliant one. But there are three movies according to the Leonard Maltin app that start with the word screaming.
Jeez.
Yeah, and none of them are anything anybody's probably heard of.
Is Screaming at Picasso in there? Because I want to copyright that.
No,
right now.
We got from 1956, obviously. Screaming Eagles.
Oh, sure.
We won't be using that one because what movie starts eagles, with eagles?
Yeah. Eagle Eye.
Eagles.
Eye.
With a S.
Eagle's Eye. That's the sequel. Eagles,
and then the next one's called Screaming Mimi from 1958. Great title. And then The Screaming Skull, also from 58. All the screaming movies were in the 50s. He used the title up and then walked away.
Skull
and
the Skulls.
The Skulls, yeah. Well, that doesn't help us.
So, but let's do Screaming Mimi, and then who's got a movie that starts with the word me? Because that would work.
Oh, right.
Me and Orson Welles?
What was it?
Screaming Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah. See, now we're getting somewhere.
Oh, isn't there's that movie called Irene in Time?
Is there?
Yeah.
Who was in it?
I don't know, but I saw a billboard for it on Sunset. I think it's still there. It's across from the chateau.
Oh, I think it's a Henry Jaglom movie because he always puts up those billboards, like
it's
one billboard somewhere
like
for his shitty current movie that stars his shitty actress wife or girlfriend.
She has, like, red hair.
It's a different girl every time. Oh. He always falls in love with somebody. He's like Woody Allen. He always uses some broad that he wants to put in a movie. I shouldn't say broad. That's inappropriate. Okay, so hang on here.
Are we going in some sort of order?
I want to look up Irene in Time.
Oh.
No, there's no order. It doesn't matter.
It's real. Okay.
What is... I'm trying to think of a time movie, though.
So many.
Yeah.
How are there?
Hey,
are
you.
Good in this game? Other than to help us
producer.
Start off point?
I don't get anything for stumping.
Is there one called Time After Time, and then we can just go in a
there
vicious
is.
Cycle?
There is a movie called Time After Time.
Time After Time,
was, of course, about Malcolm McDowell going into the future to try to catch Jack the Ripper because they both stumble upon a time machine.
And it's in San Francisco.
Jack the Ripper. Like, can you imagine, like, being Jack the Ripper and murdering people, you know, murdering prostitutes is pretty easy in foggy old London town. But then you go to the future and then you're in modern times and you have to figure out everything and still murder people.
Right.
Like, he's got such a complicated life at that point.
Cameras.
Leonard Maltin saying no results for Irene in Time.
He's got it. See?
It is.
I like to check with Len, but it's on IMDb, right? And is it Henry Jaglom? Yeah, it is. Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right. So I was right about that.
Good job, Rick.
All right. So then, so Irene in Time, and then what was the next one?
Time and Again? Or
Time After Time, but then we're just right where we started.
Another Time movie. We could do that.
Now Time Bandits.
Yeah, that's what
Belknap
said. That's what Matt said off mic, so now you could say it sounds
smart. Oh, great. Yeah, Time Bandits. That's tough, though, because there's a Bandits.
Right. But no Bandits.
Bandits 2? No Bandits 2.
It's a...
Can you start with It's?
Sure.
It's a Wonderful Life.
There you go.
Oh, I was going to do It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, but It's a Wonderful Life works. Okay, so now life we got now we got the word Life as We Know It. Great movie with
if you like
a lady
you.
With poo on her face.
I'm coming up with It Could Happen
That's
to You.
Funny.
It Could Happen to You. That was the was that the lottery movie?
That was Lottery with Nick Cage
that.
And Rosie
Bridget
Perez.
Fonda.
Yeah, she got like a ton of
Bridget Fonda, yeah.
A ton of money for that. Okay, so now we have to one that starts with we need one that starts with you. You only live twice.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
What starts twice. With twice? Twice in a Lifetime.
I was just gonna say Twice in a Lifetime.
With Gene Hackman and Ellen Burstyn.
Lifetime original movie.
What? Is the movie called that?
No. I don't know.
Now we're back to Time again. Lifetime, Time.
It could just be
I'm could be yeah. I'm. Lifetime. There has to be other movies with time in it.
Sure.
I'm not even going to look at my phone. Time Cop.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. Good one.
Oh, yeah.
Cop and a Half.
Now you're just playing by yourself. Half Baked.
Half Baked, yeah.
Now that might be a stopper. What? There's not a movie based on the dessert Baked Alaska.
Aked.
Aked.
Ricky introduced me to what a Baked Alaska was, and it was awesome.
Yes.
It's so good. Like, it's not something people should eat regularly.
No.
Baked. I don't know.
Can you two eat whatever you want? Like, you're both. I always think of you as just being naturally skinny.
We went for that Baked Alaska.
Yeah, I think Kate and I both eat anything we want, but we don't eat a lot of food.
You just don't
general.
Eat much.
Yeah,
anyway.
Like today I didn't really eat aside from a half of a granola thing.
All I had today, God. I went to McDonald's, but I ate half a chicken sandwich. That's all I had.
That's you can diet at McDonald's if you only eat half of the things.
Yeah, and I didn't get like fries or anything. I just had half a sandwich.
Yeah. Good work.
Yeah.
Sam?
I can't eat anything because of the disease that I am making up.
Weirdo. All right.
So I was looking at my phone to see if I could find anything that started with baked, and I got nothing.
No. Okay, so here's the full title. Kicking and Screaming Mimi.
Such a stretch. Thanks again, Belknap.
Kicking and screaming, me, myself, and I read in Time After Time, Bandits, A Wonderful Life as We Know It Could Happen to You, Only Live Twice in a Lifetime, Cop and a Half Baked.
Yeah.
That's we haven't gotten one that long in a while, so it's pretty good. Yeah, I'm going to go see that. Can't wait to see that on a marquee.
The next thing where I run in time is.
How are we doing on time? When do we start this thing, Matt? About 3:15, 3:20?
40 minutes ago.
Ooh, 40 minutes. All right.
Get to the game.
Yeah, so let's play some Leonard Maltin game.
Leonard Maltin game.
All right.
Woo! All right.
Are Kate and I on the same team or are we on a different?
Matt's running to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay. If you knew this thing was only going to be an hour, you'd think you would have timed that better.
You would have thought.
Yeah.
He's bad at
bladder
control.
There's like, what if we just start talking a lot of shit about him while he's not here?
I think we should insult
and it's on
him
the podcast
and his child.
Well, he doesn't go home and listen to the whole thing.
And his choice
and title.
Seriously, Belknap. How many one of these has he seen? How many times has he seen you do this? Countless. Kicking and screaming.
People get put on the spot. Like I did in Portland, I just said to people in the audience, I just point to somebody and go, name a movie. And they go, any movie.
Yeah.
You can name any movie and you still just go,
True Romance. Bam. There's one.
Well, that.
Or they go, Tron.
You would be good at it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people freeze up when you're just like, name one.
Name any movie.
It's not like name a color where you can just name the first one that pops into your head. You know? Okay. You start second guessing what you're going to say. Like, that's what I like about Matt, is that he just answered the question I asked him. He didn't hesitate, and he gave us a shitty title.
Wait,
welcome back.
Back. Is it you and Kate on the same
team?
We
talked about you the entire time you were gone.
No, you guys are not on the same team.
Okay.
It's every
Oh, yeah,
we're
all individual. We go around the table. You run it. I'm just
going
to be a contestant.
Okay, well, I'm gonna start with you. Because I know you don't get to play that often. Here are your categories for the first
And then we'll go around this way?
We'll go
then
clockwise.
Kate, then Ricky. Okay.
Okay, here we go. In honor of his Oscar win last night, we have Christian Bale movies.
Ooh.
In honor of his birthday, which is today, John Turturro. movies.
Nice.
And a category that I like to call when good musicians go bad. As in, when musicians decide to put down the guitar or piano or what have you.
Yeah, put down your piano and act.
All right.
So there
Those
you go.
Are my
so
choices.
You got Bale, Totoro, or musicians?
I'm going to go Bale, please.
All right. You've got a Christian Bale movie from 1992,
mm-hmm.
a Christian Bale movie from 2002, or a Christian Bale movie from 2006.
I'm going to go 2002.
All right. There are... What do I do now? I tell you.
You do a couple of clues.
Okay, here's the clues. All right. Well, Leonard gave it. I will not give it away. That much I know. Leonard gave it 2 stars, and he called it. He called it a bleak tale, and he says that it's hard to care about any of the characters in this dour story, and there are 9 names.
I can do it in 2 names.
Wow! I am impressed.
I know it.
Did anybody cheat? Did you guys look up whose birthday is or anything? Want to get Christian?
I did
Bale.
Nothing.
I know the movie.
I did nothing. I didn't even. Right. I mean, normally I am always trolling for whose birthday it is, but I did not look
right.
today because I didn't.
All
I knew
right.
you'd be doing it, and
I guess
haven't.
So.
And I haven't seen USA Today or Entertainment Tonight, any place where they might mention whose birthday it is.
Right.
So I had no idea it was his birthday. He didn't even mention it when he won an Oscar. Did he say it's my birthday tomorrow?
No, it's not his birthday. I just picked him in honor of him.
Oh,
winning
in honor
an Oscar.
Of him winning. Okay.
Right.
Well,
no,
then,
it was
so
a silly question.
How could
it was a silly question?
Yeah, it was. I cheated by watching the Oscars last night, so I really got Christian Bale on the brain.
Did you cheat by watching the Oscars like we said you would?
All right, I say 2 names.
2 names.
So you can either go lower or say name it.
Name it.
All right.
All right, here we go. Your 2 names are Alice Cridge and Ned Dennehy. Ooh.
I think it's Alice Krieg.
Is it?
I think so.
Krieg, K-R-I-G-E. Yeah. Alice, if you're out there, feel free to send me an angry email.
I think that's who it is. She was in the big screen adaptation of that, not the Stephen King book, but the other guy that writes those kind of books, Ghost something. Ghost Story, maybe?
What about this? What about this clue we're working on now?
Dour and bleak, 2 stars. I was kind of hoping from the get-go that he just felt that, like, he just isn't a fan of American Psycho. Is that what it is?
That is not. So I'm going to keep naming names. Alexander.
I feel like I know
she
it.
Can say now.
Is it The Machinist?
It is not The Machinist.
Oh, ooh.
Man, he's been in a lot of bleak movies.
He has. Yeah. Alexander Siddig, David Kennedy, Scott James Mutter, Gerard Jeez. Butler,
ooh.
Isabella Skorupko, Matthew McConaughey,
what?
And Christian Bale.
And this is 2002.
This is 2002.
He's wow. the star of it?
He is
I
the star
name
of it.
I couldn't all the names.
And Matthew McConaughey is the second lead in it.
I'll give you a hint. It could have been called How to Not Train Your Dragon.
Oh, Reign of Fire. Reign of Fire. Oh, damn.
Man.
Nicely done, Matt.
Was not
that wasn't a bad movie.
I yeah, I thought it was entertaining.
It was all right.
Was 92 Newsies?
Yes.
And
I knew Kate and I both knew 92 was Newsies because we both go. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And was 06 The Machinist?
No, 06 is not.
Wait. This category could come up again.
Category.
Yeah, we can still.
Oh. It's alive.
Thank
Jesus,
a lot, because I would have gotten 92 and zero names.
Fuck it up again, Belknap.
Wow.
Yeah. I would have said 92, zero names.
All right, well, 06 is still up for grabs. We can come back to that. All right, so that is.
We'll see about that. So Kate gets the point.
Yeah.
All right. Start over here.
Yeah, we're going to start with you. Okay. I'm going to give you When Good Musicians Go Bad.
That one.
You have other choices.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to hear those?
Yes.
Catherine O'Hara's birthday is the Friday that this plops. Is that correct, Doug?
I love her.
This will plop on Friday? Mm-hmm.
May plop sooner.
Okay. Well, if it plops on Friday.
This Friday.
It would be
March
Catherine O'Hara's birthday. March the 4th, I believe.
Okay.
And then in honor of the last time I was here, I'm doing a new category. This one's called Prequel, Please.
I'm still going to go with the singers.
Good Musicians Go Bad. Okay, you've got 1992, 2001, or 2003?
2003.
All right. Leonard gave it 1.5 stars. He called it a sorry excuse for a script and said that it exists merely to show off its sexy female star. And you get 8 names.
I can name it in 3 names.
Whoa. Doug Benson, three names to you. 2003. Star and a half.
Why such a ballsy bid?
I don't know.
All right, name it.
All right, here you go.
Do I name it?
Not yet. You get three names.
Oh, right. Okay.
Unless you feel like you know it already.
No, sorry.
All right. Lenny Venito,
mm-hmm.
Missy Kreider, and Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah, geez. I thought I knew it, and now I... Oh. It's, Geely.
That is correct.
Woo! Wow. Thank you!
Wow!
That's phenomenal. The next name is Al Pacino, by the way.
What is that movie?
It's Jennifer Lopez.
It's Jennifer Lopez.
I was thinking it was Glitter. I was totally sure it was Glitter when you said showcase this female star. I was like that.
That's what I thought too.
And she didn't have to put down any instrument.
No, she didn't.
Wow.
So I call point of order on that.
Ricky, I have to say that.
I was looking for a musician.
Sorry.
Oh, wow. I never would have gotten that. What's the guy that played the retarded kid? Is he going
Justin
on to
Bertha.
Anything else?
Justin Bartha.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah, he's
movie
in
called
the
Hangover.
The Hangover and the
sequel,
maybe.
Yeah, he was in all the National Treasure movies.
Treasures.
But boy, that's got to be an ongoing embarrassment for him.
Wow.
To act retarded in such a retarded movie.
Doug, you're the only person without a point right now.
I love
so
it.
You get to
I love
first.
It. Underdog status.
Yeah.
Underdog.
Now, I, of course, prepared an In Theaters Now, but I don't think that's fair for you to take because you prep the game every week. So you probably know a pretty accurate list of who the theater.
I could barely tell you.
All right, well.
But yeah, that's you don't have to do it in theaters now.
Okay, well, it's out there. So you can do John Turturro,
mm-hmm.
Prequel Please, or Catherine O'Hara movies.
Whoa. I'm so bad with years is my problem.
Mm.
So I want to try to narrow it down better. Let's go Turturro.
Johnny Turturro. 1994. 1998 or 1999? Yeah. Reach back, kids. Reach back.
I will go for 1999.
Oh, this is a good one. Leonard was a fan of this film. He gave it 3.5 stars.
Wow.
He called it a sprawling, invigorating concoction. And that it aims high and succeeds amazingly well. And here's my favorite part, 23 names.
Oh, man.
The bidding will go on for hours.
Aims high and succeeds, and it's 1999.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of names.
So many.
23 names.
Succeeds. I'll go 23 names.
Okay.
I can name that movie.
What? In 0 names?
I think so.
Okay.
Holy
wow.
crap.
Then...
This is going to make you... actually, I should have mentioned this at the beginning. There are 9 slots in the Tournament of Championships that's about to start up, and this you will be our 9th
Is Geely seriously that would not qualify?
No, because you did 3 names.
Oh.
Yeah, you should have went 0 if you were so... cocky about it.
She would have said Glitter.
But you didn't know Geely when you were saying how many.
I thought it was Glitter. So
yeah.
As soon as I got to Chris Walken, that's what turned it for you.
So if you say it in 0 and get it in 0, then you'll be in the Tournament of Championships.
I'm pretty
name
sure.
That movie.
Name.
Cradle Will Rock.
That is correct.
Nice.
Nicely done.
Oh my God.
Very nicely
done. Thank you. Thank you.
Unbelievable.
What were like the bottom like 3 or 4 names?
Jack Black.
He was early on
the
bottom.
First name,
I would have. That would have narrowed it down to Tim Robbins movies because he was in pretty much all of them.
Steven Spinella, Audra McDonald, Gretchen Mol, John Carpenter, Bernard Hughes, Harris Yulin, Paul Giamatti, Bob Balaban, Emily Watson, John Turturro.
Did I say read them all?
I just read the first 5.
That's
there's still
amazing.
82 more names
thank
to
you.
Go.
That's a lot of names. 23 names.
Yeah.
So what gave it away for you?
1999. I knew right away.
Interesting.
But I do like the movie. So
yeah, it's a
you
good
do
movie.
Like it.
It's really good.
I have the soundtrack and everything.
Yeah.
You worked with Tim Robbins, so I don't trust
doesn't
your
count.
Opinion.
Yeah, doesn't count.
Because I, I said something to Jack Black about it one time because I actually saw a little bit of it on cable again recently, and I'm just kind of flabbergasted by how little sense it makes, you know, and it doesn't really entertain me at the same time. So, it's kind of, so that's kind of a bad combination. But
I'm just a sucker for musicals.
But that's interesting that he loved that, that Leonard loved that so much, because it did aim awful high, and I thought it missed by quite a really missed. Because I even when I said to Jack Black, I was like, what was with that movie? He's like, I don't know. Like he didn't jump in to defend
kind of
it.
Early on for him, right? I mean,
yeah,
a little bit. Yeah.
No, it was it was cool that he was in those movies. So right. he's certainly not going to say anything. He was great in what was it? Bob Roberts.
Yeah,
Jack Black
fan.
Is so scary fan with the crazy, you know, just acting like Jack Black, but you didn't know him as Jack Black yet. You just in that movie, it's just like this guy's out of, you know, he had that look of someone that will kill someone.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
Like you haven't?
Oh, you have
it's
to.
It's also semi musical.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like that movie a lot better.
That movie's
than
really good.
I haven't seen a lot of movies.
That's why I was so let down by Cradle of Rock, is because I loved Bob Roberts, and I thought that Dead Man Walking was really good.
Yeah,
and then I mean, look. Say what you will about Cradle of Rock, Tim Robbins stopped making movies. Like that was sort of the stopper for that career for whatever reason.
That is. That's really
maybe
sad.
Because it was so ambitious, and then he was disappointed by how it was received or something.
Yeah, but the other one, like,
well, no, Leonard liked it, so that's all you need.
I don't think. Let's go on Rotten Tomatoes, Matt. Give me the percentage, because I imagine a lot of critics liked it, because it was trying to do something, that's for sure. But I was just like, what is happening most of the time? And Turturro was, you know, he's like, he does a lot of yelling. There's a lot of protesting going
yes.
on, right?
I don't really remember the movie, I'm realizing, but I remember liking it.
I think they watch it every night in Madison, Wisconsin to get pumped for the next day of protest.
64%.
Yeah. See, that's pretty
that's
low
fresh.
For, that's pretty, it is barely fresh.
It's fresh, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but what did the public say? Does their public number? Public liked it even more, but those are the people that went on to see it on purpose, which was not too many
which
people.
Not you. You saw it by accident.
It didn't do very well. No, I went on purpose.
Oh.
All right, so Kate, congratulations! You're in the Tournament of Championships. I am going to leave today with my tail between my legs because not this time. At least last time I guessed some things right. This time I didn't even get on the board.
Yeah. No, last time you didn't get anything. Last time you lost
I
the
did
game
so, me
in
and
the minimum. No, that was after the game was over.
I didn't get a point?
No, you lost the game in the minimum amount of movies possible. Because Graham said name that movie both times.
Graham got two in a row? Well, why did... what? There was some point where
we were playing for fun afterward.
Oh, that's when we both yelled out Pretty Woman at the same time?
Yes, that's when you started crushing it. When the stakes were...
Oh, let's play for fun then.
For fun, all right.
There's no stakes to begin with other than my own personal embarrassment that I'm not good at the game.
No, I think you are good at it. I think you are. I think you're going to do very well in Prequel Please.
Well, you don't have to push a category at me.
I'm pushing a category.
I almost picked that, but...
You've got that. You got Catherine O'Hara.
Let me ask you this. Before we do Prequel Please, just one quick question.
Yeah.
When has there ever been a good prequel?
I have at least two in this category.
That are good movies.
At least one.
That take place before the first movie that was a hit, and they decided to make another one.
Yes. At least one of these three, I firmly stand behind.
I love it.
Me neither.
Yes, you can.
I mean, hopefully you'll be able to add Rise of the Apes to that list when that comes out.
Dumb and Dumber?
Because that's a prequel, right? Rise of the Apes?
I believe it is, yeah.
Dumb and Dumberer.
That is not in my list.
Okay, all right, so let's play that category.
All right, 84, 99, or 2002?
Just give me the 2 years that are the ones you think are good.
84 and 2002.
Okay, I'll go 84.
All right. Leonard was not that big a fan. He gave it 2 stars, but but there's no way you don't like this movie. Leonard called it headache-inducing. And says it never gives us a chance to breathe. And as a little added bonus, it was an Oscar winner for visual effects. And you get 7 names.
That's from 94?
84.
It's from 2004?
Yeah.
Okay, 84.
It's from 2014.
And it's a prequel to something?
It is a prequel.
Oh my gosh.
And it's noisy in one
and everyone
effects.
In this room knows this movie.
Really?
Oh. I promise.
All right, how many names?
7 names.
Did you say that already?
Yeah.
I'll go 7 names.
Oh, that's me.
Start the bidding.
Ah, shoot. I'll go 6.
Ricky? I'll go 5.
4.
3.
Oh! I finally get
name,
all the points.
Name that movie.
Oh, she's going to get the point, though.
Yeah, oh, crap.
Is. Name that movie.
All right.
How many names did she get?
She gets 3 names.
All right.
Okay.
The first name I'm giving you is Dan Aykroyd. The second name is Philip Stone. And the third one is Roshan Seth.
Oh, Jesus.
You know,
do you know the movie?
I forgot it's a prequel.
That's right.
You're right. It's my favorite. It's the only good prequel ever.
Damn it. Why didn't I say name that movie? I really don't know.
There's nothing on the line, really.
I don't know it. Can Doug say it?
Sure.
Yeah, I certainly can say it.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
That is correct.
Oh. Never would have gotten that in a million years.
Yeah, but that's another case of, like, that's where we should have known that George Lucas was jumping the, you know, was starting to go prequel nuts in a way that wasn't going to be good, because the things that happened to Indiana Jones in that movie,
right,
in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you go, nah, you know, a guy tried to pull my heart out with his bare hand, so this thing is, this situation isn't so bad. You know what I mean? Like the prequel is so much more spectacular, and like Leonard said, it's noisy, and
right.
But it did win for visual effects.
It did, and you know why he made it a prequel? Because he didn't want to do another film where Indy fights the Nazis. And so he either had to jump like 10 years or make it a prequel.
Why? What? Oh, you mean just because Nazis were still a problem?
Nazis were still the only bad guy at that period of time.
Well, I guess so, but he could have been like just chasing to get some crazy artifact. It's not like the villains that were in the prequel were like these firmly established villains we've always known and loved.
Is this the one with the monkey brains?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Every scene in the movie is hilarious because it's just. It just keeps every scene, everything is like just trying to make it, everything gets worse and worse.
And
like,
the snakes,
like,
are,
oh, there's a bunch, like, of bugs. Precious. Oh, there's a bug on me. Oh, there's a bug in my hair. Oh, there's a bug in my mouth. Oh, I just shit out a bug. Like, it always, every scene escalates.
Yeah. That's what,
and it's
that's
so
what Leonard said.
Entertaining.
And the kid like from the Goonies, is this still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Ki Hai Kwan.
It tried to, yes. Also known as? Jonathan.
Oh, Kwan. Jonathan Kwan, because he tried to, right. didn't want to come off too
out.
Foreign.
Yeah. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
I remember watching that movie with my babysitter.
Terrible babysitter.
Yeah, because how old were you?
I was 4.
Whoa! That movie's brutal for a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
That movie helped usher in PG-13.
Really?
Mm-hmm. All right, you want to try the prequel from 2002?
Sure.
All right.
Let's see how we doing on time. We got to wrap it up soon.
Okay. I'm going to start with Kate on this.
People are getting an extra long episode.
Okay.
All right. It's from 2002. Leonard gave it 2 stars. He called it needless. He said that it was slick production with an exceptionally good cast. And Ellen Burstyn's voice is uncredited. And you get 15 names.
Oh, 15.
Now, hang on a second.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He calls it what?
Needless.
And this is the other one that you think is good?
Yes, and so do you.
Oh.
I listen to your podcast. I know what movies you like.
Oh, wow. It's
how
a
many
prequel
names?
From 15. 2002.
There's
15 names. And it's needless.
10?
Okay, 10 names.
9.
Douglas.
This feels like a trick question. How many did you say?
9.
She said 9.
I'll go 8. Just give me more time to think.
7?
Name that movie.
Oh!
Nobody wants you to play.
You guys.
We don't know it.
Here we go.
I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah, do it.
Lalo Schifrin.
Oh, yeah. No.
The composer?
I guess so.
Yeah.
John Rubinstein.
Cameo by a composer.
Frankie Faison. Azura Sky, Stanley Anderson, Ken Lung, and Bill Duke.
What is this movie?
What?
It's a prequel that you think I liked.
If I got one more name in, you'd know it and you'd go, oh, you're right.
Do you give up?
Well, I give up.
She gives up. Give me the one more name.
Anthony Held.
How is Silence of the Lambs a prequel?
It isn't. Red Dragon is.
And he was in that too?
Yeah.
He's in both, right?
Yes.
And Red Dragon's a good movie?
Absolutely.
The Brett Ratner movie?
Yes.
I go find where I've ever said that.
Nah.
But I think that's a good
We've
movie.
We've talked about it.
No way. It's terrible.
No, you're wrong.
Manhunter. That's the one.
Mm.
Manhunter and Silence of the Lambs are both great. And then Red Dragon's like
I liked Red Dragon.
It's got an amazing cast. Ralph Fiennes is in it.
Yeah, Ralph Fiennes, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Mary Louise Parker, Emily Watson, Harvey Keitel, Ed Norton.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I still wouldn't have gotten it.
Ugh.
Yeah. But that's, see, that's the thing. I only recognize that guy's name from he was this the guy in Silence of the Lambs.
Right, yeah. And I knew you'd know that because I know how much you love that movie.
Yeah,
Bill Duke
I know
was in my voiceover class.
Silence of the Lambs a prequel.
Really?
Yeah.
So maybe you would have gotten this.
He directed Waiting to Exhale, I think.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah.
Bill Duke?
Yeah, the actor.
Who was also
he's
in Ricky
a big
voiceover
black
class.
Actor who's always yeah. like he always plays like you know kind
he
of
talks like this.
He's a, always a tough guy like yeah. in Commando.
Well, I'm sorry.
Or was and thought... it was Bill Duke was also in Predator, wasn't he?
Oh, I think so.
I think so too.
That wasn't.
If you just tap Bill Duke on there, it'll list all of his movies.
No, I don't have it on that. I do it differently than you do.
Ooh.
I do it in Notepad. I do it in notes so that everything's all condensed. So that I don't have to go
fancy.
Fumbling, looking for weird.
Hey, my fumbling is charming.
Snippets of pieces of the review that don't give anything away.
Oh, you select the pieces of the review ahead of time.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I don't do that because I
know. And then you let your guests talk while you're looking through it, and sometimes that gets dicey, Doug.
Why? Because they start to give away too much information.
Sometimes they say things like. They don't talk about shitty Paul Verhoeven movies.
Oh, that's when that happened?
No.
Oh. You're just a house of cards.
I like to reference earlier podcasts for your podcast listeners so that they feel connected.
I must have been drunk if I said I liked Red Dragon.
I think you and I have talked about it.
Maybe I had a meeting coming up with Brett Ratner and
off
I didn't want to get in trouble. There's no way.
What was the 2001 music one? Was that Glitter?
No.
What was the 2001?
The 2001?
Put down your piano and start
the
movie?
All right, we'll make this the last one.
Okay.
All right. Leonard gave it 2 stars. He says it starts off strongly, then gets dumber and dumber, and it has a cartoon-like climax. There are 12 names.
And it's musician trying to act. Is that the one?
Yes.
2001?
We'll start with you, Ricky.
Oh, 10 names.
9.
8. 7. 5.
Ooh.
Name of that movie.
Yay.
Here you go. You're going to like your 5,
I'm
too.
I'm going to name it.
You're going to like your 5.
Yeah, what are they?
Nick Chinland, Ava Mendez,
ooh.
Macy Gray, Snoop Dogg, and Dr. Dre.
Why would I like that?
Because I would think that's a giveaway.
Oh. It is?
Yeah.
You know it, Ricky?
I think so.
Come on, Doug. What movie was Ava Mendez in?
Jesus.
That Macy Gray, Snoop Dogg.
I don't think
Dogg
I could name 3
Dr.
Ava
Dre.
Mendez movies.
Because we're not playing for points.
Okay, let's go backwards. It's not the other guys.
It's not.
It's because they're list all of everything she's been in.
It's not Training Day.
I'll give you a hint. She is naked in this film.
That doesn't help me. I've never been like...
Nothing?
It's not Training Day.
I don't get that big of a bone going for her.
She just said the title.
Oh.
Training Day?
Yes!
That's a musician movie?
Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Macy Gray?
Oh, you're the worst.
Do they not sound as musicians?
But that sounds... The category sounds like it's a person who's like went and made a movie instead of doing music. Like it was with Geely.
Right.
I mean, she was in a lot of movies, but you know what I mean?
Well, then you guys should have taken the 1992
movie. I mean, there's plenty of movies where lots of musicians had cameos.
Well, that's...
They weren't like the leads.
Not to totally say this, but Jennifer Lopez was acting for like 5 years before she put out a record.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So that was double.
That was sort of the other way around.
Well, you still got it.
I did. So,
so what are you complaining about?
But that brings up an interesting thing. You got it, but it was like Training Day?
Yeah, yeah. Really?
But I didn't realize those people were in Training Day. I mean, I guess I remember Macy Gray being in it now that you mention it. But that's a movie I just saw the one time because I didn't love it as much as everybody else.
Oh, no?
Yeah. But this does bring up a good thing that I want to talk about briefly,
sure.
And then we'll get out of here. People come to me with category ideas on the internet all the time, and that's where they'll suggest things, and I'll just be like, oh, that just gets into too much, you know, it creates too much gray area where the contestants can,
I will never do that category or anything like it again. My sincere apologies that it
I'm
caused
just saying,
so much strife.
I've fallen into that myself, you know, just because it's like, as soon as you start going, you know, it has to be a real specific thing. Like obviously that's why I do people's birthdays a lot. Because
sure.
It's just like that person's in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's that, you know.
Right.
Wait, which movie had Ellen Burstyn with a
That was Red Dragon.
That was Red Dragon.
She's the voice of Ralph Fiennes' dead mother.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't know because I saw it the one time and didn't like it. Well,
makes you feel any better? My 1992 musician movie is decidedly a musician who acted just the one time.
I thought it was at least going to be like, you know, how Bob Dylan was in, like, he was in Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. You know what I mean? Like, he just suddenly showed up in a Western and everybody's like, what?
This might have been better. I don't know. Those might have been movies I could have chosen for this weird category.
Yeah, but it's a, you know, that's coming up with weird categories is the hardest part. So I'm going to write down who I want to call a shithead because I lost today. That's an easy one. What's wrong with my pen?
Matt Belknap really wants to know the 1992 movie, so I'm just going to start naming names.
Oh, I love that. That's fun. What's the category again? This is a musician thing?
When musicians go bad, 1992, 2.5 stars. Overblown, makes no sense, but has many crowd-pleasing ingredients. Debbie Reynolds, Stephen Shellen, Burt Remsen, Robert Wool, Devon Nixon, Mike Starr, Michelle Lamar Richards, Tomas Arana, Ralph Waite, Bill Cobbs, Gary Kemp.
Wait a second.
What is happening?
Time.
The next name I say gives it away.
Because the next name is that musician.
Yes.
Okay.
You've mentioned Mike Starr before.
Wait. Is it Crossroads, Britney Spears?
No, it's 1992. She was 10.
I forgot the year, but she was great in that. What are the clues again?
Oh,
you never did the clues.
Yes, I did. Overblown makes no sense, but has many crowd-pleasing ingredients. 2.5 stars. 1992. The last two names are the movie star and the musician.
Right.
That is correct, Matt Belknap.
Whitney and Costner. Yay. Nicely done.
That was a good one. I don't
know. Nicely done. Yeah, I forgot all those people were in that.
Remember that scene where Kevin Costner fights Mike Starr and he throws that small knife in the kitchen when he's eating the apple?
Yeah.
All I know about Mike Starr knives. All I know about Mike Starr is he punched Fritz Stoller through a phone booth in Dumb and Dumber, and he was on Ed.
I know. First time I was ever on your podcast, and you were looking at my resume, you were like, you were on Ed. Was that a Mike Starr episode or a non-Mike Starr episode?
Did you pal around with
Michael Ian Black?
That's who your character was friends with on the show?
Yeah. He wasn't really friends. I was in two episodes, and
they like were you silly. Worked for him or something?
No, I came in so that he could train me how to be a better bowler.
Oh.
But the joke was he didn't know how to bowl at all.
Of course not. Well, he works in a bowling alley. Why would he know?
Right.
That was what was so kooky about that show.
I can't believe it's not on DVD.
I did love that show. And Kevin Pollak's very upset that it's not on DVD. I thought that's whose voice you were doing when you said that. I can't believe it's not on DVD. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks
Sam Levine,
us.
Running the yeah, game again. Garfunkel and Oates, All Over Your Face is available on iTunes in the comedy album section.
Yes.
So you're tearing it up. It's got the really pretty picture of the two of them on the front of it. So you got to check that out. And as always, Sam Levine is a shithead.
How dare you?
Oh, no.
And Sam Levine is a shithead.
We both put you there. Sorry.
How could you?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.